Act tonight in the service. We are grateful and thankful, Lord, to give us this time together. I thank you, Brother Hart, for the kind invitation to come and to be with you and with your people again. I appreciate the church allowing us to be here. And I thank the Lord for making it possible that you could be here and I could be here. For if both of us had been willing and the Lord had not been willing, we couldn't have been here. He is in control. It is in Him that we move, live, and have our being. So I'm glad He is in control of all things. So we're grateful tonight to be able to be here, not only tonight, but these days. And we appreciate the good place to stay and appreciate every encouraging word, prayers, and act of kindness that you showed us. And appreciate that. Appreciate your fellowship and friendship down through the years since we've been coming here to Westside. Always a joy for us to come, and it's been a joy in these days. I've really enjoyed it, and I trust the Lord has said something through us to be a blessing and a help to you, has already, and if not, will be in the days to come. All right, Hebrews 11, if you have your Bible with you. Hebrews chapter 11. Would ask for your continued prayers. I think I've probably told you this before. I picked it up from Brother Cook. Brother Cook performed the wedding for my wife and I, and lived to be 94, pastored the same church 52 years. And he would say this. He said, "Now put me on your prayer list and pray for me. Till you hear I'm gone and take me off, I'll have it made then." And he'd say it may be rough from here to the cemetery for the children of God, but he said, from a cemetery on, it is smooth sailing.
Amen. Amen.
So that's the way it is, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you putting us on your prayer list, and some of you already got us there, and I appreciate praying for us. Hebrews 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, if you got your Bible, in verse number 23, I want to read there tonight and then try to preach from this passage, the Lord being my helper tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23. Once you've found your place, if you're physically able, if you're willing to do so, I do invite you to stand with us. Of course, by standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of the Word of the Lord. And if you're able to remain standing after we read these verses, we'll pray again together. And thank you so much for praying for us.
Yes.
Verse 23 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Yes.
Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Father, we bow in your presence tonight. We come before you, Lord, needy creatures, undeserving, unworthy, Lord, to bow in your presence, but only come because the Lord Jesus made it possible we could have access to the throne of grace. And we come, dear Lord, tonight to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. I'd ask you to have mercy on me as I endeavor to preach. I ask you to have mercy upon this people as they endeavor to hear. And I pray you'd anoint me to preach. And I pray you'd give them hearing ears and receptive hearts. And I pray we can glean and gather from your word that would bless and benefit our lives tonight. I pray, Lord, Lord, help us for Jesus' sake and the glory of God. I pray, dear Lord, the word of God would go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God from these lips of clay and find lodging in the hearts and lives of those that are here. May sinners be awakened. May sinners be convicted. May sinners be brought to a place of repentance and faith. May saints be reproved. May saints be revived. May, Lord, that saints be refreshed tonight through the preaching of the Word of God. Please don't leave us like we've come, and don't leave us unchanged, but do that great eternal and effectual work that only You can do in any heart and in any life. Oh, dear Lord, but above all of that, above any of that, oh God, every bit of this, Lord, above it all, would You get glory and honor unto Your high and holy name tonight. And Lord, what You're pleased and privileged to do in, through, and for us, we'll thank You and praise You, for I ask what I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing tonight as we read the Word of the Lord and then prayed together. I would like to preach tonight, if I can, from this passage tonight, verse 27 especially. For the Bible said, "For he endured," speaking of Moses, who we begin reading about in verse 23, "he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Yes. Simply want to preach on seeing who you cannot see. Seeing who you can't see tonight. The Bible said that Moses literally saw him who is invisible. And I ask you tonight, have you seen him who is invisible? Have you seen him that can't or cannot be seen tonight? Now this book of Hebrews, you're probably familiar with tonight, this book of Hebrews, my friend, finds this people of God, these first century believers, this early New Testament church, my friend, as they begin to follow Christ and come out of Judaism, my friend, and begin to be Christians. And as Brother Mitchell used to say, they were a New Testament church on New Testament ground, but didn't have a New Testament. Amen. And so here they were, my friend, these early believers, my friend, focusing on the words of Jesus and, my friend, the words of the apostles and those that followed them, and received Christ as their Messiah and their Savior and began to live for Him. Of course, this brought them great conflict, a great persecution, great problems, my friend, and great pressure in their life. For their own countrymen, their own families ostracized them. That is, they put them out. They would have nothing to do with them. My friend, they considered them as dead people because they had turned, my friend, from Judaism. They had turned, my friend, from that they were born and raised up in, to what, my friend, the Jewish people considered heresy and false doctrine and Christ surely not the Messiah. So there they were, my friend, with no family to interact with, and considered as, my friend, literally a dead person to their family members. And to those that they had formerly went to the temple with or to the synagogue in both. Then they were under great pressure by the Roman government that occupied the territory at that time. They had come to see the time that the Roman government blamed them for everything that went wrong. Literally to go to the point that if it rained too much, it was the Christians' fault. If it didn't rain enough, it was the Christians' fault. And everything that went wrong in government or in society or even in nature, they laid it at the feet of these Christians. And under that great pressure and great, my friend, that persecution that they endured, my friend, they began to consider maybe it's not worth the cost. Maybe it's not worth, my friend, all of this persecution and pressure for us to continue in this way. So the Hebrew writer begins to write to them, thank God, and said, you're considering going back to what you came out of. And they were. They were considering going back out of Judaism, going back out of the temple worship, going back out to the former covenant, if it would relieve the persecution and get them out from under the pressure that they were under. And because of that, they, my friend, also had lived for the Lord. And my friend, he had not fulfilled his promise of coming again. And every generation, beginning with this one here, the first church, thank God, if we call it that, my friend, everyone looked for Jesus to come in their lifetime. And we're looking for Him to come in our lifetime. Amen. And we expect Him. We do believe in the imminent return of Christ. Amen. Thank God. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. Thank God. He just said, be ready. Amen. For in an hour, you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It'll be in days like these. It'll be when folks are least expecting Him. Amen. And He will come again. But since He hadn't come, and they didn't have all that New Testament that we've got, my friend, the Pauline epistles and those others wrote by Peter and James, thank God, and my friend Jude, my friend and John, and the book of the Revelation, they wondered, well, we're out here on an island. Thank God, have we missed it altogether? Do we need to go back to our roots? Do we need to turn back out of that we once had? And the Hebrew writer, thank God, says to them, oh, since you're considering going back, he said, I want you to consider some other things.
Amen.
Yes. And I felt tonight in my spirit, thank God, as I looked at this tonight, I felt deep in my spirit, I'd have simply warned somebody, or somebody's here tonight, in this service that we're in tonight, thank God, for you to consider some things tonight.
Amen.
You know, we get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in our activities, in our work, my friend, in our day-to-day living, in our recreation, in all that goes on, my friend, and especially, thank God, in electronic age, we get caught up, thank God, in our electronics. But I'm telling you, and most folks live like, my friend, there is no tomorrow. Most folks live like there is, my friend, no judgment, and there is no coming again of our Lord, my friend, or there is no end of life. But I say to you tonight, while you're considering your goals in life, while you're considering, my friend, your career, my friend, your marriage, thank God, having children, my friend, the college you want to go to, the job that you want to work at, are you hearing me, friend? Thank God, considering buying that house, that car, thank God, all the things that we consider in life. Can I ask you tonight to take time to consider, my friend, what it's going to be in the end? Amen. Are you with me tonight? Feel like I need to warn you tonight. Somebody needs to consider. That is what Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy, which was his last will and testament, his last words before he went on top of Mount Pisgah. And the Lord took him out from this walk of life after leading the children of Israel for 40 years out of Egypt and through the wilderness. He's about to die. And he said in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 28, he said, this is a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. And I ask you tonight, will you consider your latter end tonight? Amen.
For there's coming a day, amen, when the job will be over with. Thank God. When the college degree will be left behind. Are you hearing me tonight? Thank God. When all the things that we're so caught up with, and I'm not talking about not living. Thank God. I know tonight how we must live, amen. We must face a day to day. But I ask you tonight, above all the other considerations that you have had in your life tonight, have you considered the latter end tonight? Have you considered when this world's on fire, thank God, and when the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, thank God, and this earth shall pass away, have you considered where are you going to be? Amen. Peter said, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I'm telling you, friend, thank God, the latter end is upon us. We are in the last days of the last days. I want to tell you, friend, thank God, consider your latter end. And if Jesus don't come tonight, you may not get back to the house. You may not be in another service. This may be the last one. And if it is, have you considered your latter end? Have you considered, thank God, when my friend, the dust of the battlefield of life has cleared away, thank God, and all of it's over with, have you considered where are you going to spend eternity, and how is it between you and a holy God tonight? Do you have peace with your Maker tonight? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God tonight? You better consider your latter end tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. You take that tonight to the bank as a warning from the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, He said, did Moses, if this nation would be wise, that they'd take counsel and they would consider their latter end. While you're considering all the other things in your life, consider your latter end. Amen. And I say to you, regardless of what all you're considering that'll make you have life, amen, and live, you can't live until you're not ready to live. Until you're ready to die.
That's right.
Amen. And once you prepare to die and you consider the latter end and get it settled, thank God you can live.
Hallelujah.
And that's the only way you can live. Hallelujah. Oh my. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Have you considered your latter end tonight?
Yes.
Amen. And secondly, may I preach just a moment tonight? I'm working my way back to the text. I promise you, I'm working that direction tonight. Not only have you considered your latter end, it's a warning tonight. Somebody or somebody's need in this service to stop for a moment. Take time out of your busy schedule. Hallelujah. You think you got your whole life ahead of you, but you better take time out tonight to consider your latter end. Maybe closer than you think it is. Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm young. I'm not sick. You don't have to be old or sick to die. And whether you're ready or unready, when that time comes, you're going. And none of us can keep you here. Is anybody listening to me? Consider your latter end. Then I want to say, secondly, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. I'm just talking about some things we need to consider tonight. Amen. As we get to this message, consider your latter end, then consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, Jesus said, how they grow. Luke 12:27. They toil not, they spin not.
Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Well, I don't know where you're at tonight. Hallelujah. But I want you to consider the lilies. Hallelujah. Amen. And Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like the lilies of the field. And if God would so clothe them, oh, don't you know tonight He'll clothe you. If you're His tonight, if you belong to Him, if you're saved by grace, oh, are y'all hearing me tonight? Why are you of little faith? Why are you doubting tonight? Why are you fretting and worrying tonight? Consider the lilies. And when you consider them, hey God, remember that God considers you tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And then we get to what I wanted to preach on tonight in Hebrews. Thank God, chapter 11 tonight. Amen. And when the Hebrew writer begins to write to these Hebrew believers, thank God, he knows they're considering going back, returning to temple worship, going back to sacrifices, thank God, under the Mosaic law, thank God, and he knows that's in their mind, and that's in their consideration, but he says to them, thank God, before you do that, he said, would you consider the Lord? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one you come to trust as the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said to him, first of all, would you consider the fact that he's greater than the angels in chapter 1? Amen. Thank God, he hath obtained a more excellent name than them simply by inheritance. Amen. Thank God. And you put a lot of stock in angels. How about he said, if you put that kind of stock, and angels, wouldn't you want to put your trust and your confidence in one and consider one that's greater than the angels? Never did he say to an angel, sit thou on thy my right hand until I make thine enemies a my footstool. But he did unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody hear me tonight? Consider him. Not only consider him, thank God that he's better than the angels, but in Hebrews 3:1, he said, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you've made a profession. And he said, you're considering going back, but I want you to consider your profession, but not just your profession, consider the apostle of your profession. Hallelujah. He said, God sent you an apostle. Oh, bless his name. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle of God. What is an apostle? Thank God, one chosen by God to represent him to a group of people. One chosen by God to speak to the people the words he wants them to hear. He said, though God in time past has spoke to our fathers by angels and by the prophets, but he said, now, I consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. The gem of the glory world, the pearl of paradise. Hey, thank God. My friend, the Lord Jesus himself, the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. Not the only Son of God, but the only begotten Son of God, God incarnate, God in flesh. Hey, God, he talked to you. Hey, God, he spoke to you. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God, he was the Word made flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Anybody hearing me tonight? Thank God. Oh, bless his name. Full of grace to save man, full of truth to reveal God. Amen. And never a man spake like this man. And Jesus said, thank God, my words are spirit and they are life. In other words, what God wanted you to know, what God wanted us to know, he told us through his Son. He's the apostle. He's the spokesman. He's the mouthpiece. He's who God used to talk to us and tell us what the Father said. Amen. Hallelujah. Consider the apostle of our profession. He said, but don't just consider the apostle of our profession. He said, consider the high priest of our profession.
He said, for when he got through telling us what God wanted us to hear, amen, he turned around and went to heaven, amen, to appear in the presence of God for us. And now as our high priest, he tells God what we want God to hear. He represents us to the Father, just as he represented the Father to us. Now he represents us to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And beginning at chapter 1 all through chapter 10, thank God, over and over again, thank God, he talks about him being first of all the apostle, thank God, then the high priest, and he develops him as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He develops him as the priest, the high priest that has an unchangeable priesthood, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth and abideth, how to make intercession for us, and he institute of the New Testament and a better covenant, amen, and a better way. And he said, if you come to that that's better, why would you want to go back unto that that's inferior? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And then he said to him, not only consider the Lord in respect to angels and his apostleship, but he said, consider him in chapter 12. Thank God that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He said, you feel bad because of what's coming against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. He said, but there's not a one of you resisted. Thank God. Am I free against sin under blood? None of you shed blood yet. But he said, thank God, here come the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and he endured such contradiction against himself. Contradiction of sinners. Amen. I'm telling you, they contradicted him from the time he was a tow-headed boy until the time he died on the cross of Calvary. As a tow-headed boy, thank God, they looked at him and said, we know who your mama is, but who's your daddy? Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, he endured a contradiction of sinners. Thank God. Oh, they said he cast out devils by the prince of Beelzebub. Are y'all hearing me tonight? They said he had a devil. They said he's a wine devil. They said he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Anybody hearing me tonight? He endured such contradiction of sinners. And even while he's dying on the cross in behalf of mankind, between two common thieves of Israel, they walked by him wagging their heads and reviling him and said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself. Come down from the cross. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God that he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. And thank God, the Hebrew writer said, that's coming against you. Thank God, from the Romans and from, thank God, the Judaizers, are from the Jewish nation itself. Thank God, he said, you have not endured such contradiction as Christ did. He overcome. Hallelujah, thank God. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set out on the right hand of God. And if you'll consider him and follow him, you can endure and despise the shame and one day sit down. Hallelujah. At the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name. And then, when he told them all about Jesus, here in these chapters of Hebrew, he took this chapter out, chapter 11, hallelujah, and said, not only look at the Lord, but look at the lives of these individuals. Amen. And we call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith, the heroes of faith. And he said, look at them. And he started, amen, with Abel and what he accomplished by faith. He came to Enoch and what he accomplished by faith. Amen. He came to Noah and what he accomplished by faith. And then he came to Abraham and said what he accomplished by faith. And he began then to talk about the patriarchs. And then in verse 23 of the text that I read to you tonight, and you read along with me, or at least followed me, thank God, tonight as I read it, thank God, he said, by faith Moses. Amen. I want you to consider Moses. I want you to consider a man who endured seeing Him who is invisible. Hallelujah. Now, what kind of eyesight you got to have to see somebody that's invisible? All right, God, you got to have, amen, faith. And He said, now faith is, amen, oh, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Is anybody listening to me tonight? And Moses endured because he had faith. And he said, if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Where do you get faith? You can't pick it up at Walmart. I don't have it for sale at Food Line. Hallelujah. You can't lay your hand on the Bible. I ain't God in transfer faith. I ain't God by touching the Bible with your hand. Hallelujah. Thank God. Somebody said to go to Sunday school. You ought to. Somebody said to go to Bible school. You ought to. Thank God. But I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is anybody hearing me tonight? God has to preach to you. God has to make His Word alive in your heart. Amen. And faith is a gift, as repentance is a gift tonight. Amen. And God gives faith tonight. And it's up to the individual how to exercise that faith. I want to ask tonight, have you ever seen Him who can't be seen tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have you by faith, thank God, looked upon Him as your only and all-sufficient Savior tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, you listening to me tonight? Have you seen Him who can't be seen? Hallelujah. Thank God. I feel like I'm reading some of these verses trying to prove what I'm saying. I don't know. Thank God. If you have to, they say that's apologetics. I don't know if it is or not. I just know it's the Word of God. I just know He is invisible, that He's God. 1 Timothy 6. Thank God. And verse 16 said, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach to, whom no man hath seen, nor can see. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Colossians 1:15. Thank God, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I'm telling you tonight, God is invisible. And if you see Him tonight, it'll be by the eye of faith. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh my. And yet, when you get faith and you exercise faith, whoo, thank God, it becomes more real than what you can see with your natural eye. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not. Verse 16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith allows you to look into the realm, thank God, of eternity. Oh my. Bless His name. Thank God. Oh my. What all do we take by faith, preacher? Thank God, we take creation by faith. Hallelujah. Thank God, we take redemption by faith. We take salvation by faith. Are y'all hearing me? We take the second coming by faith. Hallelujah. Thank God. But faith will end in sight. And that's what He's saying. All these that live, thank God, and now talking about Moses, they all had faith and they died in the... Are y'all hearing me? Thank God, they couldn't see. Thank God, the temple, because they looked at the eternal. Amen. Some folk can't see the eternal because they're looking at the temporal. Thank God, but He said Moses endured. Amen. Because he saw, thank God, eternity. He saw the eternal. Amen. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Have you seen Him tonight? Is He real to you? Amen. Now, I was taught all my life. I done told y'all this Monday night. I was taught all my life about God and creation and the Lord Jesus and all the Bible stories that you would tell and talk about in Sunday school. My friend, experience that you would have. I talked to you about the Bible and I had no problem. I believe in there was a God. That Jesus was His Son. God, His only begotten Son, that He was virgin born. God, that He died on the cross, that He rose again, that He was coming again. I accepted it because I was taught it. God, my friend, from the time I can remember. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, one blessed night, God, by faith, I got a glimpse at Him. Oh, thank God. I'm not as just a grandma's Savior, the Savior of the world. Hey, thank God. My friend, the one the saints just shouted and rejoiced over, but I saw Him as my Savior. I looked to Him. Hey, God, from the depths of my heart and my soul, thank God. Oh, and looked, hallelujah, savingly unto Him. Oh, and when I saw Him, hey, God, bless His name. Woo, woo, woo. I'm telling you, that saving look was an eternal look. Hallelujah, thank God. It wasn't just a glaze or a glance, hallelujah, or a gaze at Him, thank God. I looked steadfastly upon Him, thank God, and saw Him as the one that bled and died for me, and that took my place, hallelujah. And Paul said, if you looked at Him that way, I'll look at Him now, hallelujah. I continue to fix and focus your eyes on Him. That's above all others, hallelujah. And you can endure, and you can overcome, and you don't have to go back. You can press on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Might I say this? Talk to you just a minute about the text. Amen. Hallelujah. By faith, his parents, that's verse 23, were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith will take out the fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 27, he, speaking of Moses, he fearing not the wrath of the king. It'll take the man fear out of you. Hallelujah. Fear not him that's able to destroy the body and afterward hath no power, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's God. That's who Noah feared. Amen. In this chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Hallelujah. And the only fear we have once we have faith is a reverence and a godly fear, because we know what God has said is absolutely right. He's never lied and He ain't going to start tonight. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Oh, He can't lie. Amen. And so we have a strong consolation who have laid hold on the refuge set before us. And we have a hope that's an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and enters within the veil where Christ, the forerunner, has entered for us. Oh, bless His name tonight. And Moses got a glimpse and saw, not just a glimpse, Moses got a view and a vision of Him, and it caused him to endure. Amen. By the way, you got faith to see things that other folks can't see. Hallelujah. By faith, Moses' parents saw he was a proper child. Amen. Hallelujah. Social services would have said to him, you done got two young'uns, and here's your third one, and your husband can't provide for the two he's got. He's working in the brickyards. I ain't got them from daylight till dark. Are y'all hearing me? And all you need is another mouth to feed. I ain't got, and y'all are starving and oppressed down here in Egypt. But they said, hey, I ain't got, there's something about this one. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's a proper child. Hey, a God. Let him be born. Hallelujah. That's a deliver Israel. Anybody hearing me tonight? Hey, God, I'm glad when you see by faith, how you can see things that other folks can't see. So the Bible said, he endured seeing him who is invisible. Two things about this seeing business. First of all, how could he see him who was invisible? The verse before said he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word respect there, according to Strong's, simply means he looked away from everything else. And the only way you can see him who is invisible tonight is to look away from everything else. Is anybody hearing me tonight? As long as you're looking, thank God, at mom and dad, brother or sister, husband or wife, son or daughter, amen. Thank God, preacher or somebody in the church. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. Thank God, oh my. Some folks, thank God, are looking even at hypocrites. Thank God, measuring themselves up by them. Anybody hearing me tonight? Thank God, some folks are looking at themselves and justifying themselves. But if you ever see him who is invisible, you'll have to take your eyes off of everyone else and everything else. I want to preach to you tonight, it's Christ and him alone. Hallelujah. It ain't Christ plus church membership. It ain't Christ plus water baptism. It ain't Christ plus good works. Anybody hearing me tonight? It ain't Christ and doing the best you know how. It ain't Christ and quitting your bad habits. It's Christ and Christ alone. Ain't God in my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And as long as you look at somebody else, how to save you or help you be saved, as long as you even look at yourself as helping God save you or keeping yourself saved, you'll never endure seeing him who is invisible. If you see him, you'll have to take your eyes off of everything and everybody else. Hallelujah. Thank God, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. All other ground is seeking sand. I'm not going to heaven tonight because you're going. I'm not going because my parents are going. I'm not going because my wife's going. I'm not going tonight because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going because I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, bless his name. The only reason I'm going tonight and the only reason you can go, thank God, is one day by faith I looked unto him as my only and all sufficient Savior. He's the door. Thank God, he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. It's him and him alone tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're adding to and taking away tonight, but it's all in vain. You better get your eyes off of it tonight. You better look away from everybody else and everything else that you think can secure you a place and a position in heaven. Thank God. And look to him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh my. Oh yeah. He had respect. That is, he looked away from everything else. Amen. And because he looked away from everything else, he forsook the wrath of, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He fixed, amen, on someone or something. He looked steadfast. He looked attentively. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. I've always had a problem with it. I think it's a man problem. Amen. It's hard for me to focus, stay attentive. Sometimes my eyes, if the least something happens on either side, I'll catch myself. Though I should be attentive, I'll catch myself. Hallelujah. I do it driving. I do it standing. Amen. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. And don't get me in a department store where a television's on, because it's like that's the only thing's on in the whole building. Is that just an Alabama thing? Hallelujah. Amen. My wife says to me, can't you pay attention? Can't you be more focused? Will you not try harder? It looks like the harder I try, the worse I do, brother. Amen. Oh, my. I'm telling you, to see Him is to fix, is to look attentively. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like the racehorse. Thank God. Amen. Or the horse or mule pulling the wagon with blinders. Thank God. All you can see is what's in front of you. Thank God. And nothing else to the right or the left matters. Can you see Him tonight? Have you looked away from everything and everyone else?
Amen. That's right.
Are you fixed on Him attentively tonight? Seeing Him. First time, only time the word respect is translated like this, according to Strong's. Thank God, it's only time endure is translated like this, according to Strong's. For He endured, amen. That meant He was strong. That meant He was steadfast. And it meant He was patient. And that's what He said to them. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might obtain or receive the promise for yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Right.
How can you be steadfast? Thank God. Hallelujah. How can you be strong in the Christian life and in the Christian walk? How can you be patient? Thank God, you can do it by seeing Him who is invisible.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May I remind you, he feared not the wrath of the visible king, but thought because he had saw the invisible king. Is anybody listening tonight? Can I remind you that he chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He looked away from the coffers of Egypt. He looked away from the throne of Egypt. All that was at his disposal and at his hand. Anybody hearing me tonight? Thank God. I'm a leader. I might fit him to be a military general. All of that was at his disposal. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God. He could bend the next Pharaoh in line in the land of Egypt. But Moses looked away. I got away from every bit of it. Amen. And saw a treasure. I God, that nobody else in Egypt could see. I God. And he had respect and the recompense of the reward. And he saw him. I God. That was invisible. And he endured. Hallelujah. He endured when Pharaoh said, I don't know you or your God, and I ain't going to let your people go. Hallelujah. He endured when the people said, it hadn't got better since you got down here. It's got worse. Thank God. He endured because he saw him who was invisible. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. 10 judgments God brought upon the Egyptians. He endured because he saw him who was invisible. Thank God. He endured as they come out of Egypt that fateful night after midnight. Thank God. Hallelujah. With their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand and headed towards the promised land. He endured when they got to the Red Sea and the people said, we're surely going to die. Hey God, he said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey God, and they went across on dry ground and God drowned all of Pharaoh and his army. Are you hearing me? He endured the wilderness. A journey, thank God. Though they murmured and complained, he endured seeing him who is invisible. Thank God. Amen. Oh, bless his name. Thank God. And I know, thank God, he saw. Thank God, on Sinai and came back with his face all aglow. Amen. Oh, bless his name, because he endured seeing him who is invisible. I know he took him on Mount Pisgah and wouldn't let him go in the promised land for their sakes, because he got angry with them and smote the rock twice. But God let him see what he was going to do. Amen. And he endured, and God took his life. Thank God. And let the angels bury him and didn't tell the devil where his grave site was. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. Oh my. But there come a day in that New Testament where Peter, James, and John walked up the mountain. And when they got on the top of the Lord Jesus, thank God, a raiment became white and glistening. Thank God. And there appeared two men with him. Thank God, Moses and Elijah. And Peter, James, and John got to hear Moses and see Moses. Jesus. And Elijah, as they talked to Jesus about the death that he should accomplish at Jerusalem, I'm telling you, he saw him who was invisible, and now he sees him by his side. And I'm telling you, friend, thank God. Job said, though the skin worm I devour my flesh, I'm going to see him. Amen. I'll see him for myself and not another. Hallelujah. How can you endure the heartaches? How can you endure the pressure, the problems, thank God, of life? As a child of God, how can we endure? How can we be strong? How can we be steadfast and patient? How can we keep on going? How can we go on to perfection? Hallelujah. How can we cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward? I'll tell you how. Because we can endure seeing Him who is invisible.
We see Him who cannot be seen. Hallelujah. And He becomes more real than those we do see. Have you seen Him tonight?
Sinner, have you seen Him
as your Savior?
Have you looked eternally to Him and Him alone and a Savior ever dying?
So, if not, come to Him tonight. If you're here a saint of God and you're somewhat like these believers, and how we can believe God for yesterday, and how we can believe God for tomorrow. How we can believe God when we got saved, and how we can believe God at the second coming or the return. But it's these present circumstances, it's these present situations that give us such a fit. So how do we endure? How do we be strong? How do we be patient? How do we be steadfast? We see Him who is invisible. We keep looking away from everything else and keep our eyes on Him tonight. Do you need to come as a sinner? Do you need to come as a saint tonight? Is there a burden on your heart to pray? Is there a need in your life to pray tonight? Have you heard the voice of God calling you? Do you feel the drawing of the Spirit of God tonight? Oh my. Have you considered the latter end? Have you considered the lilies? Have you considered the Lord? Amen. And have you considered the life of Moses? He endured seeing Him who is invisible. Let's stand tonight.